What's up, world? Welcome back to ComEcast. My name is Cody Taylor, and as always, I've got my co-host, my brother, Doug Keeney. What's up, Doug?
What's up, dude?
How's it been, man? It has been a while.
It's been a long while. You guys probably thought we were done, huh?
Well, you're wrong.
Yep, very, very wrong. We are back. We are better than ever. Man, it has been... Oh, God, it's got to be at least a year and a half since the last time we came to the people with a podcast, Cody.
Yeah, it has been a while, but we are back. We've got a great anime to talk to you guys about. It's one of my personal favorites. So before I announce this, I just want to preface, there are going to be spoilers in this show. So if you have not seen this anime, listen at your own volition.
Yeah, this is your official spoiler warning. Because today, what are we going to talk about, Cody?
We are going to talk about Beck, a.k.a. Mongolian Chop Squad.
I keep wanting to say Mongolian Chop House for some reason.
Yeah, I for some reason, Chop House just goes smoother, but it is Chop Squad.
I feel like, is there a restaurant, Mongolian Chop House? Is that a thing?
There might be. If there isn't, there probably was.
I mean, I know there's like Mongolian grills and stuff like that, but yeah. I don't know. For some reason, that just sounds like a restaurant,
yeah.
And I'm all about it.
Hey, I'd go there. Sounds like it'd probably have good food.
But yeah, so we discovered Beck Mongolian Chop Squad probably, what, about 4 or 5 months ago?
No, probably about two, three. Yeah. It was right before quarantine happened.
Yeah. Yeah, for perspective, we're recording this. This is what, June the 5th?
Yeah, the date this it is June the 5th that we're recording.
So yeah, don't know if I could say we're on the tail end of the pandemic, but we're in it right now.
we're somewhere in it.
Yeah, but when we discovered this show, we were not yet in it. The world was a little bit more normal.
Yeah. But anyways, so Beck, the anime of our choice today, we're also going to talk a little bit about the manga as well. It is a anime or manga that follows a young man and his band. The boy's name is Koyuki. Nah, pronounce it.
A year and a half later and you still can't pronounce the names, dude. Come on.
Hey.
Come on.
Magamanebe.
Nurmagomedov.
See, you knew what I meant.
Oh, man. I missed you.
Right? So, yeah. So, this is the anime we're talking about, but we do want to get into what's been going on in our lives just to give you an update on where we're at. So, Doug, what's been going on with you, man?
Well, the last time you guys heard from me, I was in Virginia.
Yeah, man.
Spoiler warning to how that story ended, I'm no longer in Virginia.
And that's all we actually have to say about that.
Actually, as of, I think it's today is the day that I got back home.
Yeah, June it is 5th, actually. June 5th is the day that we went down and picked you up.
Yep. Cody came down, came in clutch, picked me up, came back home, back to Ohio. And man, I tell you, man, we have hit the ground running in the last year, man. We've made a few attempts to try to record new ComEcast, but I think the vibes just weren't there yet. I wasn't quite in a headspace to do it.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot going on. We were moving into a new place. People were starting new jobs. I had started a business with friends. There was just a lot where we had tried, but it wasn't linking up like we were hoping. It wasn't the content that we wanted to put out. So now we're kind of in this groove where we've got settled and we're really focused on what's next for ComEcast. So we're putting out this kind of teaser episode to get everybody in the know that, hey, we're back and we've got new content coming out.
But beyond that, got back into music, which was a very unexpected thing. You and I are in a pretty cool band that we'll be able to give you guys more details on hopefully in the coming months.
Yeah, absolutely. Look for some new content where we will be talking about music and our music project as well. So yeah, we've been doing the music. For anyone that saw about a year ago when we had tried to launch our YouTube page with videos, you got to see me, and I was very unhealthy, very overweight. I struggled with food addiction. And a little over, a year and a half ago?
Give or take, yeah.
I had the lap band surgery, or not lap band, I had the sleeve surgery done. Basically, they removed part of my stomach to help lose weight. And since then, I've been going to the gym and everything. And I think last recorded, I had lost, what, like 300 pounds?
Yeah, a little north of three, man. It was, it's amazing.
Yeah, so it's been great. I've had the last year and a half or so to really get my life back and really focus on the things that we want to do and make sure that I'm healthy and able to continue doing those things.
Yeah, you sound a lot better too, man, because I remember in the early days that there were times where you'd get to wheezing after a little bit and it worried you a little.
Yeah, it was really bad. You could definitely tell that I just was not living anywhere close to what I should have been.
But you're living your best life now. That's what's important, and I can't tell you how proud I am of you for that.
Well, thanks, man. But so that's pretty much what's been going on in our lives. So catch up over.
Yeah. So I guess let's get right into it, man. Beck, Mongolian Chop Squad. So what's your overall thoughts of this show? What do you think of it?
So overall thoughts, as a musician, I loved it. The music was right up my alley. It's music that I vibed with, that I connected with. On top of that, there was a really good story involving a kid who was pretty much musically
inept.
Yeah.
Well, not inept, but he was like, you know, he was a teenager that was into pop music.
Yeah, which there's nothing wrong with that. No. But he didn't have a wide variety of music. He didn't have, like, he wasn't immersed in music culture. And for an anime or a manga to show his rise from being someone who really only liked one specific, like, artist and genre to playing all different types of music, becoming a singer-songwriter, and really good guitar player by the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the manga even takes it a step further in really putting over how good Koyuki gets mm-hmm. by the end of the show.
Yeah.
By the end of the series run. Like, he's legit. I remember we watched a Watch Mojo list not long ago where it was like the top 10 best anime musicians, and mm-hmm. I was shocked that Koyuki made the list, but Ryusuke, the lead guitar player for the band, didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But after digging more into the manga, I kind of see why. Because where Ryusuke was a natural, Koyuki's a prodigy. Just very, very adept.
Yeah, because they didn't outright say it, but they did leave like little hints in the show that he had learned to play and write and everything in a pretty significantly short amount of time.
Yeah.
And as somebody who has learned to play an instrument, you and I know how much time and practice that really can take. And for him to be shown to have done it so quickly definitely lends to the point that he is a musical prodigy.
And what I love about that, too, is it definitely screams the punk rock DIY ethos that I very much came up in as a musician.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, he had a guitar teacher, but he really taught himself.
Yeah,
you know what I
like
mean?
So he kind of had this thing where he did have a guitar teacher, and he showed him the root, like the basics of how to play the instrument, and then it was really Koyuki. Did I say that right?
Yep, you did.
Cool. It was really Koyuki.
That's 10 points for Cody.
Heck yes. Somebody keep score out there, please. It showed him going home and spending just hours on end, like even not going to sleep, like learning songs by ear. And that's one of the hardest things to do in music is just by your ear alone, pick out the notes, the structure, the timing. Yeah, overall, just an absolute prodigy.
Yeah. And the show overall is just great. Every character is very well written. Every character feels like its own unique character. It doesn't feel like a rehash of another anime trope or something like that. Even though some of that is there. You know, you got the kind of like the mentor-apprentice dynamic mm-hmm. between Ryusuke and Koyuki early on.
Yeah.
But then to see that grow and nurture to become, you know, friends, to bandmates, to brothers, to peers.
Yeah.
Seeing that progression is really good. So overall, you like the show?
I absolutely love the show. Something we did forget to mention is you have read a good portion of the manga, whereas I have not. I have not read any of the manga. I strictly have knowledge of just the show.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through the manga right now. I jumped around a little bit on the stuff that was covered in the anime because I wanted to make sure that I was at least somewhat cognizant of what happened after. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading all the stuff post where the anime left off. Yeah. 'Cause the anime actually leaves off a good bit that happened in the manga.
Yeah. I would say that is probably my biggest disappointment of the anime is where they ended it. They totally could have got another season out of it and really dove into what happened after they hit.
Yeah, in absolutely. America. Which I'll go ahead and give my thoughts on the show now. First off, best anime opening I've ever heard.
Oh, absolutely.
Hitting the USA by the Beat Crusaders. Shout out to the Beat Crusaders, man. They're not around anymore, and I'm really sad about that. Like, that seems to be the trend. I'll discover an artist, and then I'll look them up and be like, man, where can I find them? Oh, they're broken up. That figures.
Yeah.
But shout out to the Beat Crusaders. They were a very good band, and Hitting the USA, the opening theme for Beck Mongolian Chop Squad, was, and is such a good song. Up-tempo, kind of a poppy rocker.
Oh, yeah.
Right up my alley.
Yeah, it's a jam all the way.
Like, every time we get in the car, that's like one of our go-to jams.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I love the show. I love what I've gotten out of the manga so far. I love the characters. I love just the whole story, the whole thing. Just it's a love letter to being a teenager who falls in love with music, and that's all they want to do.
I completely agree with that, because that's how I felt growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Learning music.
If you're a musician and you don't think you'd be into anime, I would say this is the one that you should give a try. Because, I mean, while I definitely have some issues with like how some of the progression goes, because some of the stuff that happens to them, like, you know, just off the top of my head, being able to rent out a fully professional recording studio for every single one of your rehearsals.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to ask you, what your biggest grievance with the show was, because that is mine. They are like 13. They're like, I think
Ryusuke is the oldest at 16.
He's 16. Koyuki is 14 when the show starts.
Yeah. And the show goes on for a good, I think it goes on over multiple years. So I don't know how old he is by the end of it.
I think the progression is like a 2-year period in the anime, I think.
I think by the end, Koyuki is like college age. I think so.
Is that manga or is that in the show?
In the manga. I'm pretty sure by the end of the manga, he's like college age.
Okay. Yeah, I can't say for sure because I do not know. But that was my biggest grievance, especially as a person who knows, is you're 14 and 16, you can't afford, because they were going at least once a week and renting an actual studio space.
Yeah.
And there's just no way.
Now, they establish early on that Ryusuke comes from money.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they make the comment that he lives in this dingy little house with his grandma, but he has like all this money. That's why he never has a job or anything like that.
But they do kind of elaborate on that when Maho takes Koyuki to her house.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In the show, I don't know if you remember that.
I don't think I remember that one.
Yeah. They go to the house because it's a big house, and that's obviously technically where Ryusuke is supposed to live. However, he lives with his grandma at the. Is that like a fishing pond?
Yeah. It's like a fishing hole.
Yeah. Which I think is like her job or something.
Something like that. I'm not too sure. Yeah. But I don't know, because the grandma leaves every day and Ryusuke just hangs out there and plays guitar.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't do practice there, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff like that is my only real gripe with the show. And it's really nitpicky musician stuff. Just like, there's no way. Yeah, fully professional studio for every rehearsal. How he just happens to get this legendary Les Paul.
Yeah.
Because he's got this Les Paul.
Do they get into that in the manga?
Yeah, actually, in the very, very last portion of the manga, which I want to talk about a little bit more here in a minute, they do show, and I think they actually show it in the show as well, but yeah, he basically finds it like in a burnt down club.
Okay.
Like it was just left abandoned in this burnt out club.
Hmm.
And that's where he and Eddie found it.
Hmm. I always thought it was something like him and Eddie like stole the guitar from somebody. Because that's the way I felt it was implied, at least in the anime.
I yeah I It was definitely implied that way, and I think the reason it was implied that way is because the way that it gets found out that guitar is still out there is there's this whole part in the show where all the characters go to the show for this band called Dying Breed, which mm-hmm. is the big turning point rock band for Koyuki, and it's the big international rock band that everyone's really into and turns Koyuki into a rock fan.
Yeah.
So they all, and Ryusuke, the lead guitarist in Beck, is really good friends, grew up with Eddie Lee, the guitarist in Dying Breed, so they were able to go to this show, and they pulled Koyuki on stage to sing, and it winds up getting filmed by this documentarian, and Ryusuke had lent Lucille, the guitar's name is Lucille,
yeah.
Shout out to B.B. King, and Eddie played it on camera for this documentary, and it got out. The documentary was a hit. That scene was a hit, and people saw it. And the people who are connected to the original owner are some gangsters.
Oh yeah,
and
like legit gangsters.
And they think that this guitar that had disappeared, oh, suddenly it's there. Those little boys must have stolen it.
Yeah.
So that's basically how that came about. But it winds up working out in the end. Basically. Ryusuke goes and jams with the guy who was the original owner of the guitar. And
So it wasn't the original owner. Because the original owner was killed on stage.
Yeah, yeah, he's like the nephew of that guy or something, right?
Yeah, I don't think we mentioned it, but to preface, this legendary guitar has, I think it's 4 to 5 bullet holes in the face of the guitar where the original owner was shot to death on stage. But I believe it went to his son. I think it was.
It was either son or nephew.
Yeah.
I feel like it's nephew, but I could be wrong. I'll have to go back and double check that.
Yeah, but this individual does pass down this guitar to Ryusuke because he believes him to be the next embodiment of Sonny.
Yeah. Which is really cool, and it's a really cool passing of the torch moment. That's how that whole thing plays out with the guitar, but... The show, one of my favorite parts of the show is you can tell the bands that agreed, like the real life bands that agreed to let their likenesses and names be put in there and the ones that aren't, because there are some really crappy like renamings of some really iconic bands. Like there's a Red Hot Chili Peppers knockoff logo with a fake Chili Peppers name on it, but then there's a real Ramones t-shirt.
So actually they didn't even put like Ramones on there, it was just Ramone.
Yeah, it said Ramone and Johnny, which is an actual t-shirt that's out there. It's a Johnny Ramone shirt.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, so you want to go into some character dissection real quick?
Dude, absolutely. Who do you want to start with?
Well, I think it probably would make sense to start with Koyuki.
Would it though?
Huh?
Would it though?
Probably. I mean, I would say so. I mean, he's the protagonist, so I mean
fair point.
I mean,
but if we're talking about Naruto, do you really want to start with Naruto?
I mean, who else are you going to start with?
Shikamaru, obviously.
Well, dude. Okay, that's a discussion for another day, but I'll go ahead and plant the seed now. Shikamaru needs his own show.
Oh, dude, I would watch that the rest of my life.
Anyway, Koyuki, Yukio Tanaka. He's the main character of the series. The series follows his rapid development from living a boring, average life to becoming an outstanding guitarist and singer, which he is. Oh, man, we didn't even get into talking about, like, the soundtrack and just, like, the music of the show as a whole.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll save the best part for last.
But what do you think of Koyuki as a character? Like, from where he starts to where the show ends with him, how did you feel with him in the beginning, towards the middle, and by the end?
So when we're first introduced to Koyuki, he was the type of kid that I disliked growing up. I didn't hate that kid, but... The kid that was, I guess, unapologetically just a pop kid.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that type of person. They just weren't my people in that moment. So at first, I did not resonate with Koyuki. However, by about the time he really starts getting into music, that's where I was able to connect with him. And he easily turned into one of the best characters on the show, which he's supposed to be. But there are some other really, really good characters in the show as well.
As a guitar player, were you able to kind of relate to his journey from starting with guitar to where he came from at the end?
So let me preface that he is way better of a guitar player than I am. However,
don't sell yourself short, kid.
Thanks. However, in the beginning when he was fumbling around, like trying to learn the notes and all that, the frustrations, I completely felt that.
Yeah.
That I felt very genuine about. I think they captured that very well.
The blisters on the hands and stuff.
I got blisters on me fingers.
Yeah, I'm just now starting to pick up those instruments and learning them. And yeah, that's my biggest gripe is the blisters forming.
Oh, yeah. Shoot, I shred through blisters and calluses all the time. It's just, you get used to it.
Yeah, but I like Yukio. I think that... the funny thing is, if you really want to stretch it, and I have this in my notes, if you really want to think about it, Koyuki might technically be the biggest sellout in the show. If you think about how quickly he sold out what he was into to jump into a new thing just because a cute girl said she liked it.
you could say that, but what... Person,
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
What person do you know hasn't been like, I like that now because you like that?
Oh, straight up. I started smoking cigarettes because of a girl.
Yeah.
Honestly, I started playing music because I wanted... I mean, I feel like every musician probably, at least guy musicians, we all probably started that way, wanting to try to impress the chicks.
So actually, no. I started wanting to play guitar because I thought it looked cool. That's right around the time that I had started going to concerts and stuff and like seeing people up on stage, and I'm like, man, I want to do that. That looks cool as hell. Now, obviously, yes, it can help.
One thing I do love about Koyuki is you definitely see a progression in his character where things do change.
Yeah, you see the confidence growing in him.
But he's still that same good kid that he was at the beginning of the show, and I like seeing stuff like that.
Everything that they all individually go through and go through together doesn't ruin his moral character.
Yeah.
It doesn't change. He's still a very caring guy. Now he's blissfully ignorant sometimes, which frustrates the hell out of me.
Well, I think he's the youngest in that band, isn't he?
Yeah, he is the youngest.
I think
which was contention of what's his name? The bass player's name?
Oh boy, I'm terrible with names. Hang on, I'm pulling them up. Tyra.
Tyra, that's right. I should have remembered that. Being a bass player. Tyra, that was one of his biggest gripes, was that Koyuki was so young.
Yeah, because he didn't want to let him and Sako, the drummer, in at first.
Yeah.
Because they were both still middle schoolers at that point.
Yeah. But wound up being the best decision they could have made.
Yeah. What I like about the band as a whole is that while they're all very eclectic, they all come from very different backgrounds, but they just create this amazing noise.
Mm-hmm.
And they are made up of probably the best musicians in their world. You know what I mean?
So the thing that I love about their band is something that you and I believe in very much with our own band, is that it's not about making music to make money or anything. It's completely a feeling. It's a family we built. And that's very much how they treat it as well. There's a chemistry, there's a connection.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that really just resonated so much with me about the anime.
I feel that. All right. So moving on from Yukio, we really like him. Koyuki. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Ryusuke Minami, the lead guitar player for Beck. I guess you could call him like almost a piccolo figure to Koyuki in some ways.
Yeah, I could say that. He doesn't give him a sword, but he does give him a guitar.
Yeah. Which, oh my god, that section of the show when Koyuki like gets the guitar broken by bullies and Ryusuke basically disowns him for like a year.
Yeah, dude, that was heartbreaking, because you see all that happens. Basically what happens is... Ryusuke gives Koyuki this guitar that was believed to be Eddie's acoustic guitar. So he gives it to him for him to practice, just to borrow. And Koyuki, very stupidly, is walking down the street without the guitar in his case, trips and almost falls, but he accidentally throws the guitar, and he's walking over a bridge over a busy highway traffic road. And the crux of it is, the guitar lands and it's relatively undamaged, and then it gets run over by a car.
Yeah. Oh.
So you feel bad because it legitimately wasn't completely Koyuki's fault. Now, it wouldn't have happened if it was in a case, but that's here nor there. It happened.
Yeah. So he goes to Ryusuke, and he tells him, which is the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
But then Ryusuke basically tells him, you know, get out of here. I never want to see you again. Yeah. And yeah, and I guess in manga time, that whole thing takes place over like the course of a year.
Wow.
Yeah, so Koyuki decides he's going to go work for Mr. Saito, who's the guitar teacher, who's kind of like a Master Roshi perverted figure that every anime has had since Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
But he works for him, and basically under the agreement that he, you know, he would help him get the guitar fixed if he did this job for him. So he works for him for a year, finally gets the guitar fixed. And then on his way to go give it back to Ryusuke, gets picked up by some bullies.
Yeah.
And they smash the guitar.
And it's absolutely heartbreaking because he works so hard to get that fixed. And you think, okay, now's the chance. Everything's going to be better. Ryusuke is going to forgive him. And it doesn't happen. Now, back to Ryusuke, he does learn that it was just a cheap knockoff.
Yeah, that it wasn't the actual guitar. Yeah. The next character that I want to bring up brings out the guitar and is like, you know, you dumbass.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the cheap knockoff that you bought in New York or whatever.
Yeah. But to me, overall, aside from Ryusuke's musicianship, I think he comes off as a very protective character. He's always stepping up to try and defend people.
He's very protective of his people, but even more so, he is very protective of his music.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he is the leader of the band.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's his band. It's his vision. He's the one very much driving that ship. Yeah. And he's kind of, yeah, I guess he is the leader. He's the one that everyone in that band gravitates to him. He's the reason that band even got together, because all those people were like, oh, yeah, we know this guy. He's a great guitar player, so we're going to work with him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really like that whole part of the show. It speaks volumes. I know we just finished talking about Koyuki, but it speaks volumes about Koyuki's character. But it also speaks volumes about Ryusuke as well. Like, even though, you know, it speaks about Koyuki on the level that, you know, he's a person that's always looking to make it the things that he's done wrong right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, you see through that year that he works to get that guitar fixed. And then it also shows that Ryusuke is that he's still a teenager. You know, he may be looked at as this older figure who's got it all figured out, but even he makes some boneheaded teenage mistakes, like not looking in his closet and finding, oh, hey, that's the real guitar.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So it just shows that even his character has room to grow and learn from mistakes that he makes throughout the show.
Yeah, which ultimately he does. He actually, he winds up, we haven't mentioned it yet, but we kind of did the whole thing with Sonny Liston.
Yeah.
In the guitar.
I don't know if it's Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston's a boxer.
I think it was called Sonny Liston.
Might be. We'll have to fact check that one.
Yeah. Fact check that. But I'm just going to say, I know it's Sonny. The guy that inherited Sonny's guitar, his son was the like legitimate gangster.
Yeah.
And he essentially wanted to kill Ryusuke.
And almost did at some point.
Almost did. And then Ryusuke goes on this huge plan. He basically, the band breaks up for a multitude of reasons. And while he's doing this, Ryusuke sets up this whole sting operation with the FBI to capture the bad guy.
Which is something else that we don't get to see
in
the anime, and it's really frustrating.
Yeah, because
that was such a big plot element, and we never get to actually see. We know what happens, but we never get to see it.
Yeah, which they don't talk about that, which I wish they would. I wish they would also go in depth of Beck. We hadn't mentioned it yet, but Beck is a dog in the show.
Yeah, I was going to bring Beck up with another character. But yeah, we'll come back to Beck. Go ahead and make your point about Beck real quick.
So there's mystery around the dog Beck, which is never really explained.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like a known fact that Ryusuke got Beck in New York, and you're assumed that he stole him from the gangster, but nobody knows for sure.
Yeah, because, they never really follow up on that plot element.
Yeah, because in New York there is a similar looking dog to Beck.
Yeah. But yeah, Ryusuke, I really like his character. I don't know that he's my favorite character in the series, but he is by far the most rock and roll character in the series, and I really like that
definitely.
Part of it.
Yeah, he's not my favorite character, but he's definitely like the most punk rock.
He looks the coolest.
Yeah.
Moving on from Ryusuke Minami, I want to talk about my favorite character, Maho Minami, Ryusuke's sister. I love this character so much. What do you think of her?
She is definitely a great character that advances the plot, and also a good singer who sings my favorite song of the show, even though they overkill the show.
Yeah, okay, this is a good spot to talk about this, because, yeah, there's this song in there called Moon on the Water. It's a Dying Breed song on the show, and it's a great song, very cool, kind of like piano-y, ballad-y type thing, and in key, there are a couple key scenes where that song fits so well and it's perfect. But by God, by the end of it, I was so tired of hearing it.
Yeah, because about halfway through the show, it does switch to the outro song as well.
It does, and I'm yeah. like, oh, Jesus.
I remember the first time it happened, we watched the whole thing like, is this all they're going to show is the moon? but if, correct me if I'm wrong, you could go to YouTube and search Glenn Fricker, and he has a cover of Moon on the Water, does he not?
Yeah, Glenn Fricker, Spectre Sound Media Group or something like that. SMG, look up SMG, Moon on the Water cover on YouTube. There's a really good, they do it in like the style of like a metal power ballad. They have a really cool, Korean-born singer singing it.
Yeah, he's got a beautiful voice. He lends a lot to that song.
Very reminds me a lot of like David Draymond from Disturbed, in that, you know, he goes from a very like smooth, beautiful vocal to a very aggressive, growly, gritty vocal.
He's got really good range.
Yeah.
And he very much knows how to use it.
But yeah, Maho, man. She's definitely the testosterone in the show, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, she definitely is like the most angst, I would say.
Yeah, she is a firecracker, man. Yeah. I really like her character, and it ties into another thing that I really like about this show. And it seems stupid, and I'm sure a lot of people will be like, oh, well, that's immature, but it actually really is pretty cool when I think about it. The use of vulgarity and profanity in this show is really refreshing for me, coming off, you know, all the animes that I love, where the hardest you'll probably hear someone go in Dragon Ball is damn you.
Yeah.
Or you bastard. Or same with Naruto or any of the big shonen.
Yeah. I mean, this anime does go as far to, like, for instance, when Koyuki tells Ryusuke that he broke his guitar, we didn't say it, but profanity alert, he does tell him, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't want to be a big proponent of, oh, swear all the time, and I'm also not for censorship either.
Yeah, but if it fits into the narrative, which in a show like this, there are 14 to 16 year olds, we cussed when we were that age. We still cuss.
But way more back then.
Yeah, and it's a music scene, it fits into that narrative. They're not afraid to go there.
And no one uses the word fuck more in that show than Maho.
Yeah.
Like, I queued up episode 4 today just to kind of, like, brush up on a few scenes. And, like, literally right after the opening bit where they're at the baseball field at Koyuki's school, cuts right to Ryusuke, Maho, Koyuki, and Izumi at a bar. And literally Maho, okay, get the beeper count ready, guys, is literally going, Koyuki is the fucking shit. He'd be a great fucking vocalist for your band, bro, and you'd be a fucking idiot if you don't take his fucking ass.
And I swear that is word for word what
almost
she says.
Pretty close.
Yeah. But the thing I really like about her is, I think aside from Koyuki, she has the greatest character arc and development in the entire show, because she goes from being this person who's walled off, who doesn't want to invite anybody into her life,
very much like her brother in that regard.
Yeah, really, because of Koyuki and the others in the band, she opens up and she's more vulnerable with people, and she's open to doing things.
Yeah.
Although both her and Koyuki, who are the romantic interest of the show, are frustrating as hell because they can never get on the same fucking page.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's get into that. Your thoughts on the dynamic between Koyuki and Maho through the show as it goes on.
Honesty.
Very
honesty is the name of the game. Most of the time they were very honest with each other. However, they held back on each other a lot, and the frustrations would have not been as heavy if they had just kind of talked a little bit more and really defined
what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now in the manga, I don't think they did in the show. Like, we know they get together by the end of the anime, but we never mm-hmm. actually see the fulfillment of that.
Yeah.
Now in the manga, it's very beautiful. After the big hoo-ha at the festival, which we'll talk about that scene mm-hmm. in depth a little bit more later. But after all that, Koyuki is walking around and there's fans there and they're like, it's the singer for Beck. And, you know, they're running at him and someone grabs him and starts taking him into the forest and it's Maho. And they run and they run and they run until there's no one behind them. And, you know, he's like, were you watching? And she says nothing. And he gives her a big hug and he's all covered in sweat from the show. And she talked about how great he was. And then he just looked at her and then they kissed. And mm-hmm. that was the end of that chapter.
Yeah.
So it was the manga does a really good job of wrapping up that part of that arc.
That did happen in the show as well.
Did it? I didn't remember if it happened in the show.
I feel like they didn't do a great job of transitioning into that, because it was kind of very abrupt. There wasn't like, hey, they're running into the forest. It was literally like 1 second they're playing the show ends, it's raining, and then it's Maho and Koyuki standing in the forest alone.
Yeah, really weird cuts in this. Yeah. Like I don't know if maybe it was just that we weren't watching like an official DVD or something.
Because we did stream it online.
We're not going to say where. Support the official release, guys.
Yeah, support the official release. We have since planned on buying the actual collection because it is good, and I do plan on rewatching it.
It's very much worth the money. The trick is finding American DVDs of it.
Yeah, because that is hard. Most of the ones I've seen are like not even subtitles. They're like other language dubs.
Well, it's not even that. It's apparently Japan has a very different format for their DVDs than we do. Mm-hmm. So like you can't take an American DVD and play it on a Japanese DVD player or vice versa. So that's the trouble that I'm finding is finding a version of the show. Like I'll watch it subbed. I don't care. I've heard the sub is really good. We watched the Funimation dub for the show.
I think you might be able to buy it on Funimation, like in the actual shop. Like,
I never looked.
Like the hard copies.
I never looked. I did find a physical U.S. copy on Amazon for like $45. It's just a matter of getting it.
Yeah. Now I have you watched it at all in sub?
I've watched a few key scenes in sub that were very much changed in the dub. Like the biggest example of that would be in the big scene at the festival. You want to go ahead and paint the picture for that real quick?
You're talking about the What is the festival called?
Oh, man.
Sound something?
Hang on 1 second. Grateful Sound.
Grateful Sound.
Grateful Sound.
Yeah, so Grateful Sound, they basically the deal is that they are playing the third stage, which is the smallest of all stages. And do you remember all the parameters of the deal that they made? Or not that they made, that Ryusuke made with the gangster before he is turned into the FBI.
Basically, the gist of it is that he would be allowed to use Lucille, like, on a contract and stuff like that, but he couldn't disappear and he had to keep the band together.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does he do afterwards? He breaks up the band and disappears.
Yeah. But I think it was he also had to have the biggest attendance out of all three stages
at that time.
And if he didn't, I think they were going to kill him.
Yeah. Which, learning more about that particular character through the manga, the gangster, I don't know that he actually would have.
Okay.
Because he definitely, by the end of it, softens up on a lot of those characters.
Okay.
In the manga, it goes even further with Koyuki and that guy. Like, after the Grateful Sound Festival, basically, the big change there, which I didn't talk about a second ago, the big change in that scene from the English dub, from the sub, is in the sub, so Koyuki takes the stage alone, and he starts playing a song, and as he's going through the episode, more members of the band come up and join him. Yeah. Until it gets to this big epic thing where they're all on stage together and it's awesome. But the song that they play is I've Got a Feeling by the Beatles.
Yeah.
In the subbed version, it's just straight up a cover of I've Got a Feeling. You know, I got a feeling deep inside, oh yeah. You know, so it's that. But in the dub, they couldn't get the rights to the full song, so what they did was they took the riff, the main guitar, the music of I've Got a Feeling, and they changed the lyrics.
Yeah.
And so I will say I prefer the sub version a little better because I'm a diehard Beatles fan. Yeah. And
although
so
I do really like the rewrite that they did.
It works both ways. Yeah, it definitely works both ways.
For me, not being a huge Beatles fan, most people know I like some Beatles songs, but it's not my go-to.
Right.
So for me, not being a big Beatles fan, I didn't even know it was a cover. So for me, it was just a really good song.
Yeah, I didn't catch it at first. Because they even say in the show, like, wow, this song's really familiar. Oh, he just changed the words.
Yeah.
And then once I got to listening to it, I'm like, wait a minute. And I started singing along to it. And I'm like, yeah, that's totally, yeah. I've got a feeling. But it's a great scene. But afterwards, Ryusuke basically breaks up the band and disappears.
And there, I don't know how long it says in the manga, but I think in the anime it was like a 3-month period that they were broken up before they really got back together.
I think it was a year. Let me look real quick, because that actually is around here somewhere.
Yeah, because after the festival is when the anime ends. You don't, or not directly, you get to see them get back together, they form the band, and it's actually Koyuki that gets the band back together. It's not Ryusuke.
Yeah, no, Ryusuke, they reform basically as a quartet.
Yeah.
Without Ryusuke. And because of that, well, not because of that, but because of the popularity that they gained from that festival, they were able to go and tour America.
Yeah, so they toured in America, and that was at the time that Ryusuke was in New York with the FBI setting up all the sting and stuff for the gangster.
Yeah, that's not where they meet up with him, though. They meet up with him in Seattle.
Yeah, I remember that they didn't meet up in New York. I was just saying at the time, that's where he was.
Yeah.
And that's why he wasn't a part of it, because he was off doing his own thing, basically trying to protect everybody.
Yeah, it's not outright said, but yeah, that's what he's doing.
I think his intention was always to try and get the band back together. He just felt that he had to take care of that problem before he could. Otherwise, they would always have him over their head.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. So it's what, like towards the end of the first American tour, like isn't it their last show in Seattle?
It's not like the very last show. He joins for like the last half of the tour.
Okay.
He meets up with them and then he rejoins, and that's where the anime ends.
The anime ends with them just showing a scrapbook of their time in America, touring in a van. Which I'm okay with that. That was realistic.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of someone that's been on tour, yeah. That when they were showing like their life on the road, yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely had it a little better than I did, but not that far off. But yeah, that's where the anime ends, and it's really frustrating, like you said, because they definitely could have gotten a ton more out of that.
Oh yeah. The only thing I can figure is that the anime itself didn't draw good numbers, so they didn't continue it. Now, yeah, I don't know that for sure, but that would be my guess.
That seems, I mean, there's nothing online that specifically says that, but that seems to be the case, because so the manga ran from 1999 to 2008, and the show ran from 2004 to 2005. The manga was a big hit. It actually won Manga of the Year in a few different award shows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a hit in Japan. I think that they were expecting it to be a bigger hit abroad, and when it wasn't, they just kind of pulled the plug on it.
I feel like, I don't want to say redo it, but maybe like redistribute it. I feel like nowadays it'd probably do pretty well, especially with, I feel like I have seen a little bit of a resurgence of that kind of like punk rock coming around nowadays, with people kind of pioneering that, like MGK.
Oh yeah, and then you know, big things like, you know, the biggest comparison to any band that Bette gets is Rage Against the Machine, and you know, what's a bigger reunion that was announced this year than Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah. Which some of the music that they play is very stylistic of Rage Against the Machine. We haven't got to talk about this character yet, but Beck, the band, actually has two vocalists.
Yeah. Actually, that's the very next guy that I want to talk about. So we'll wrap up Maho by saying that, you know, she's my favorite character. I really like her interactions with Ryusuke and Koyuki.
Yeah.
All in all, just a very fun character. Now on to
my favorite character.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say on to what I'm pretty sure is Cody's favorite character.
Chiba.
Tsunami Chiba. They just call him Chiba in the show. This guy is a lot of fun. Why don't you take the reins on this one, man?
Chiba, man, he is my character. He is fun, he's crazy, and he is unapologetic about it.
Voiced by the same guy in the Funimation dub that voices Yusuke Urameshi on Yu Yu Hakusho.
Absolutely. Actually, did you know that the voice actor of Sanji is Ryusuke's voice actor?
Oh, you know what? I can hear that. Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
But Chiba, he's all right. He's absolutely crazy. And he is loyal to a fault.
Oh yeah.
To the point where
so many ass whoopings for everybody in that show.
And he kicks ass too.
Yeah, he does.
When he first became friends with Koyuki, they virtually knew nothing about each other, but Koyuki was getting picked on, and Chiba didn't stand for that shit.
Yeah.
He whooped ass for Koyuki, and nobody messed with him after that.
He's like martial arts trained.
Yeah, he's a legitimate fighter, but he's also their vocalist, and he's very rhythmic. He raps.
Yeah, he's influenced by hip hop, and that's his thing. He does a rap style of vocal to counteract Koyuki's regular singing.
Yeah, which is great because the versatility that Koyuki and Ryusuke bring to it is very Tom Morello with like a very bluesy twist to it.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I love Chiba. He's loud, he's abrasive, he doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks, and he stands up for his people, and I love it. And I he's always the one, he's always the butt of the jokes, which I'm not gonna lie, as a drummer, it's really refreshing for the lead singer to be the butt of the jokes on something for a change, you know what I mean?
There's times when you feel bad for him, and he's got a good character development too, because even though he is loud, brash, and fun and rude, he is insecure as well. I mean, you're reminded many times that he is a kid as well. He's insecure in the fact that he doesn't feel like he should be part of the band, even though he makes the band really what its sound is.
Yeah, this band is a perfect example. And it's amazing that we're talking about this like it's a real band.
Mm-hmm. But it essentially is.
It feels like a real band by the end of it.
The same thing as Steel Dragon from the movie Rockstar.
Yeah.
It's not a real band, but it is a real band.
Oh yeah. Those songs are just as good no matter where they came from.
Yeah, I'll turn on the soundtrack. I listened to the soundtrack today when I was going to take Jordan's package to the UPS.
The Beck soundtrack?
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing on the way.
Yeah, which by the way, I'll go ahead and link it in the description of this. There is a really cool mix that a fan did. That soundtrack that's on YouTube, a fan did that.
Yeah.
He compiled all the audio of the band and sequenced it together and made a proper soundtrack.
Oh yeah, which I mean, you know, we listen to that all the time.
Oh yeah, that's our go-to. That's like it's great music to like work out to get pumped for a band practice or whatever you need.
Yeah, I wish I knew the names of all the songs, because there's one specific one where it's a Chiba song, and it starts out, and he's literally like, crank your fucking guitars!
Oh, man, I can't remember the name of it, but yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, a couple standout tracks. Like a Fujin is really good.
Like a Fujin's great. Moon on the Water, Slip Out, Face.
Follow Me.
Yeah.
Which is the duet between Maho and Koyuki.
Which is in the show, it's a cover of a band called The Rocket Boys.
Yeah.
Which did we ever find out? Is that a real band?
I never did look into that. I feel like they were like a sit-in for like the Beatles or like that kind of like British Invasion era music.
It would definitely make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, Chiba, great character. It's fun. It's crazy. Even like the band members that don't get a ton of like screen time, like Chiba or like the next guy I'm going to bring up, you know, you still feel like they're fleshed out characters and they get the points across that they're there to make.
The show, and I'm sure the manga even more, takes the time to really flesh out a character, at least the bare minimum of what you need to understand them.
Yeah. Now on to the next member of the band, Tyra is his name. That's all they call him on the show, but his full name is Yoshiyuki Tyra, bass player. Based off Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way.
Yeah, I knew that. Honestly, it's pretty prominent.
Oh, yeah.
Just because he every show, he takes off his shirt, he plays shirtless, and especially his style. He is, whoever played bass for them, if it was Flea, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
You know, that wouldn't shock me because the live action movie that they did in 2010, which we've never seen it, but we can talk about it a little bit later. But the Red Hot Chili Peppers actually provided the opening song for the movie.
Oh, really? Did they? So they did a cover of "Hit in the USA"? Or
no? I think they did. It was just "Around the World." You know, it was just a Chili Peppers song that they contributed to it.
Okay, I gotcha.
But still, I mean,
but a phenomenal bass player. Whoever actually played on that, phenomenal. Very, very, very tight in the pocket.
Yeah, and character-wise, he is probably the member of the band that gets the least amount of like actual development.
He's also probably the most mature of everybody.
Very
in the band.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's very much his role, and that kind of seems to be a theme not every bass player, but that seems to be the theme with a lot of bass players that I've seen in my life.
He did a really good job of. I really feel like the band wouldn't have been together if it wasn't for him in a way. And that comes from the fact that he stuck around, he joined the band and he eventually voted for Koyuki and
Saku.
Saku. I was going to say Psycho or something like that.
Psycho.
Saku?
Saku.
Saku. For them to join the band, because of his beliefs on chemistry and really vibing with each other.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's another thing I love about this is it very much differentiates between what makes solo acts and pop stars what they are and what makes a band what a band is. You know, Beck is a perfect example of a band where they are greater than the sum of their parts, if that makes sense. Is that right? Greater than the sum of their parts?
Are you saying that they're greater together than individually?
Yes.
Then yes.
Okay, yeah, there we go. But yeah, Tyra, definitely gets the least amount of development, but still a very important character. He's that rock-solid anchor holding it down, not only on the stage, but off the stage as well. He I feel like his role is to be that guy that, you know, Ryusuke is the one with the big dreams and the big visions, but Tyra is the one that kind of reels him back in. Like, okay, well, this is cool, but let's keep it within some realm. But
he's where Ryusuke and a few of the others are the end goal watchers. He's the one that kind of keeps them directed in that direction. Like, hey,
Ryusuke's let's do this big real picture. Quick. Tyra is the details.
Yeah.
All right. Next on our list is Saku, the drummer.
So I actually, for me, Saku is really cool. Saku. He's really cool. I don't have a lot to say about him just because, for me, even though I love the drums, the character just didn't resonate much for me.
Yeah, he really only, like, character-wise, his biggest purpose is to be Koyuki's friend in school and in the band that he can confide in on his level because, you know, they're the same age, they go to the same school, they're going through all this stuff together. Koyuki can relate to him and some of his problems more than he could someone like Ryusuke or Chiba or Tyra.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, Saku was a way better friend for Koyuki than Ryusuke was is. He's definitely the most stable friend that Koyuki has in the entire show.
Mm. Oh, yeah, big time. As far as in school, apart from, like, a character that I'm going to talk about in a second, that's really all he's got is that character.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's not really a whole lot to say about him other than, he's just a steadfast friend and really good drummer. What I love about him as a drummer is that he's very much from that same school of thought as me where it's, you know, serve the song. It's not about doing what's going to make you look the best. It's about what makes the music sound the best. And I really appreciate that they made Saku that kind of character. You know, for the kind of music that they're trying to make in that show, that's exactly the kind of drummer that he needed to represent. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
But yeah, so moving on from Saku, now you got me doing it now, Cody. Another character that I wanted to talk about is very much a periphery character. She's really big in the first few episodes, then she disappears for a while, comes back in towards the middle. But we don't get a whole lot of time with her, and that is the character of Izumi Ishiguro, Koyuki's childhood friend that he had before middle school, who is kind of responsible for the introducing him to the music that would change his life.
Yeah, she's the one that first takes him to his first concert.
Yeah.
Which is Ryusuke's band before Beck with his ultimately his rival.
I can't remember his name, but yeah, the dude with red hair.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like Izumi was kind of initially in the beginning just to set up friction between Koyuki and Maho.
I don't know about, I think she definitely becomes that. I think initially, I think she's there as a bait and switch for the audience because it's kind of implied early on that she's going to be that love interest.
Yeah.
And then Maho comes in and that completely changes that dynamic to where it becomes more of like a brother-sister thing between the two of them.
Yeah. And I think when I say friction, I mean because Koyuki was the only one that really had feelings there. So it would appear.
At least that's the way for Izumi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's much more interested in someone like Ryusuke than she would be in someone like Koyuki.
Yeah, so that's kind of the friction I'm talking about, where he still had feelings towards her, so he wasn't sure how to move on towards Maho or try and pursue that or whatever in that sense.
Yeah. And then, you know, she does kind of cause some conflict between Maho and Koyuki towards the middle with another one of those darn moon on the water scenes, you know, because she agrees to like give Koyuki like private like swim training because Koyuki's on the swim team as well.
Yeah.
And so they go to the pool and, you know, they're doing their thing and Maho sees it. And the first like real like heartfelt moment that Koyuki and Maho had was in that pool skinny dipping together.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sees that and it becomes a thing, a jealousy thing.
Yeah. She jumps to conclusion before she finds out what actually is going on, which actually seems to be like her family's biggest flaw.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Between the guitar and this, I mean, they are definitely good for some overreactions.
Yeah. So, Izumi is a very good bait and switch setup character for a few plot points.
Yeah. I kind of wish we would have gotten more out of her, you know, like just in terms of, I kind of wish she would have been more of an active part of Koyuki's journey with the band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to have that perspective of someone that knew him before. We get it a little bit, but we don't get it as much as I would like.
Mm-hmm.
See, she's one of those characters that I enjoyed. I just wish we would have seen more of her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the last character that I want to talk about is the titular dog, Beck. Him's such a good boy.
He's such a good boy to everybody except Koyuki.
Yeah, he hates Koyuki, man. Well, no, he kind of grows on him by the end.
I don't think he ever hates Koyuki. I think he just sees Koyuki as a non-threat, so he kind of just treats him like a chew toy.
Yeah. But what do you think of the dog? I mean, from his design to how he's used in the series.
The design is really cool. They could have used him more in the series, though.
Yeah, that's exactly where my it falls short for me with him is they set him up like he's like going to be so important and iconic to the band because I mean the band's named after him.
Yeah,
but really
Chiba also named him that way.
Yeah, but you don't really ever get to see much of Beck.
Yeah, yeah, you really don't, which is unfortunate because they imply that he's going to play a big plot point. And ultimately, there's no payoff to that, unfortunately.
Yeah, and they bring up the whole thing about, you brought up earlier about the other dog in New York that looks like him. We don't even ever really get a follow-up on that.
Yeah, there's like one mention of it from some fangirls, and then it's just a dead point.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. It's one of those things. It's a common theme with the show that does disappoint me where they're very good at fleshing out the characters and telling a great story when it's focused, but there are certain things that they'll introduce, you know, like Beck or like Izumi or like the whole thing with Ryusuke and the government.
Yeah.
Now they'll introduce those threads, but we don't really get to see them concluded.
Yeah. Now speaking personally, I haven't read the manga, so I don't know if they do go into depth on any of that and flesh any of that out.
With Beck, not really. Okay. Not really, man. He doesn't play much bigger of a role in the manga than he does in the show. Which, I mean, he's a dog. How big of a role can he actually play, I guess? But, I mean, I don't know. Just for for him to be so big in the iconography of the band, to not have a bit more to do in the series was a little disappointing.
Yeah. So, hey, we haven't named this character, but we have sort of talked about him without being direct. What is your opinion and breakdown of Masaru Hyodo, the bully?
The
little one, not the big one.
Not the bald guy, the one that's like a legit bully.
Yeah.
The one who's like also a very gifted guitar player.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, you know, he serves his purpose for the, because you spend most of the series hating him. And by the end, he doesn't really redeem himself. Like, he's never, like, friends with Koyuki or anything like that.
I would say he, in a way, he does kind of redeem himself just in the fact that he realizes he was wrong in what he did. And I believe he does apologize.
I don't know if he does, but the big guy, the bald guy, he definitely does.
Yeah, that was, I was going to talk about him too, because he falls in line with Hyodo, because Hyodo is ultimately part of the reason that the fake Eddie guitar is broken for the second time.
Yeah.
Because he's hanging out with the big guy. And the big guy isn't really a bad guy. He's just misunderstood, and he's a very insecure person.
Yeah, like, as soon as he, like, because one of the big plot threads, in there was that Koyuki, like, had played this guy's guitar and had chipped it.
So it was right around the time that Koyuki was learning to play guitar. He had gone to the music room in their school, and there was this really nice Mustang guitar. Or is it a Jaguar?
It was either a Jaguar or Mustang.
Either or.
Mustang sounds right.
And he was playing it, and he wasn't being disrespectful or anything, and the bully guy, Hyodo, came in, and he was doing what he does. He bullied. And ultimately, Koyuki accidentally drops the guitar, and there's like a little nick in the body of the guitar. No real damage or anything. But Hyodo sees that as an opportunity to antagonize and pretty much blackmail Koyuki at that point. Using, let me look at his name real quick. Rikia is the big guy's name.
Yeah.
Using Rikia as a tool.
Yeah, a tool to incite fear in Koyuki.
Because Rikia is known as a person who does like to fight. Because he is insecure, people poke at him, and he does end up fighting them, and he is very strong. So he gets seen as a bully, even though it's just because I feel he's misunderstood.
Is he the one that Chiba scraps with in defense of Koyuki the first time we see Chiba really scrap with somebody?
I believe so. I think he does get in a scrap with him, and Chiba ultimately beats the hell out of him.
But that guy does ultimately, he definitely does get redeemed by the end of it.
He does. He becomes pseudo friends with Koyuki and a few of the others.
It's more out of a respect to Ryusuke, I think. Because once he realizes who Ryusuke is, it really changes his, the way he looks at Koyuki.
Yeah. So with the guitar thing, basically, Hyodo plots to get, essentially like, I think it was American money. It was around $3,000, I think.
Yeah, something. Yeah, he was holding up Koyuki for a lot of money.
Yeah, saying that Rikia was gonna beat him up, beat both of them up if he didn't get him the money. And then eventually, Rikia finds out that happened, and he beats the dog piss out of Hyodo and apologizes to Koyuki, and I think he even gives Koyuki his money back.
I think he does. I'll have to go back and watch that again. Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he does. But don't you guys just love the amount of prep that we put into this?
Hey, we put prep in. There's so much good stuff, little stuff and nuances to this show. You can't possibly remember everything to detail that. So it's going to pop up.
It's a 26-episode anime. I mean, can't really do a full series on it, but for like a lightning round video like this, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Or podcast this.
But I felt we couldn't continue any further without talking about these characters, because they do play a big part in how Koyuki becomes who he is.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, those are some great characters. Oh, one more that we should probably bring up is Mr. Saito.
Yeah, Mr. Saito.
The Master Roshi of our group.
Yeah, so what was the original purpose of Kuyuki going to Saito's shop?
Originally, he made a bet with him that Koyuki made a bet with Mr. Saito, I should say.
Yeah, because Mr. Saito is or was an Olympic swimmer.
Yeah,
and he would often show up to Koyuki's school and teach the swim team, which Izumi was a part of. So Koyuki, being there, being friends with Izumi, met him, and Mr. Saito challenged him, and ultimately, Koyuki lost.
Yeah.
And he shows up to the shop, and that's when Saito finds out that he plays guitar and essentially takes on the role of, he really ultimately was Koyuki's father figure in the show.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, he is a pervert, he is a pervert with a heart of gold.
Yeah. And he ultimately, cause he's what, like in his 40s
or 40s or 50s, somewhere in there. Yeah.
He'd never been married. I think he even went as far as saying he had never had a girlfriend. And you get to see that character development through Koyuki's school music teacher comes in and meets Mr. Saito, and they end up dating.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately, I don't know if it says in the manga or not, but I think it's implied that they eventually get married.
Yeah. He is, like, Master Roshi is the comparison that's easy to make, you know, because, you know, perverted character and whatnot.
But he's not as over the top as Roshi is.
No, because, I mean, he's definitely, you know, he has his, you know, he has his porn collection, but he never really tries to take advantage, I guess, the way that Roshi would.
Yeah.
And especially in OG Dragon Ball.
He's very respectable.
Yeah.
And a very kind-hearted good man. I mean, he essentially paid for the repair of the fake Eddie guitar by Koyuki basically working for him at, I think it was a news station or something like that he ran, like a little internal news station.
Something like that, yeah.
So Koyuki works for that, and at the same time he's teaching him guitar, and he actually ends up giving him a White Falcon Gretsch.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing guitar.
It's a Cadillac of a guitar.
Yeah. Which Koyuki does not end up breaking.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Thankfully, yeah. Yeah, he winds up with a really cool Fender Telecaster by the end of it.
Yeah, I believe it's I don't know if they ever referenced the year, but I remember that it was an American Telecaster with that kind of cream yellow color that they had, which was a really cool guitar.
Yeah. But yeah, Saito's a great character, man. He's very important to Koyuki's development. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
and even actually, as well as the relationship of Maho and Koyuki.
Oh, yeah. He's a great sounding board for him on that.
Yeah, a good wingman, too.
Yeah. And let's not forget, he's the man that's responsible for Koyuki's first gig.
Yeah, at the...
It was like a talent show.
Yeah, it was like a talent... Was it a school festival, or was it just like a...
I think it was just like a town festival or something
Star.
Like that.
It was the Star Festival.
Yeah.
I think. I'm
something
either,
like that.
It was either that, or I'm remembering Black Clover right now. Now that I think about it, I'm almost positive it's Black Clover.
Another anime we could talk about one day.
Oh, yeah. It's a good anime. Yeah. Watch that one, too, if you guys haven't seen it.
But yeah, I like him. He's a good character. And he also introduced us to another one of my favorite characters. The bird.
God, that bird. Asshole!
I can't remember the bird's name, but that bird it steals the show in every scene it's in.
Oh, yeah. It's just, like, Koyuki and Mr. Saito spend so much time trying to get that bird to rock out to their music.
And it just, the bird's not having it.
No, but he likes the Rocket Boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Well, dude, I think we have gone through just about every character that really has anything major to talk about. I mean, we could try to talk about, like, Koyuki's mom, who we never see, but we hear her a lot.
Yeah, she yells a lot.
Yeah.
I think there's not much left to talk about. Any other stuff, honestly, I would recommend just watching the show. There's definitely stuff that we didn't cover that I would love to cover. It's just we're trying to keep this tight and compact, and we don't want to give everything away.
Yeah. I will say, though, I did jump ahead to the very, very last chapter of the manga, because, like I said, the manga ran for going on about 10 years.
Yeah.
And so it goes way farther than the anime or the live-action movie did. The live-action movie that There was a live action movie that came out in Japan in 2010 of this. Mm-hmm. I hear it's really good. Which I haven't watched it yet.
That featured the band Beat Crusaders. Didn't they actually play those roles?
No. It was actors. It was actors playing the roles. I don't know how involved the Beat Crusaders were with that movie.
Now the music video for Beat Crusaders with the live action, is that from the movie or
I think that's a fan edit that someone put together.
Okay.
But yeah, so there is a live action movie that's out there, but it covers less than the anime. It ends after the festival.
Okay.
Which I guess for a movie is a good place to end it.
That's a good place to wrap it up. I mean, you want to see the other stuff, but
yeah,
in a whole, that's not a bad place to wrap up.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the very last chapter is a side story. It's a 70-page, just one chapter story called The Last Days of Eddie Lee, who you've heard us talk about Eddie a lot on this show. He's the guitar player from Dying Breed that's like Ryusuke's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers, it's exactly what it sounds like. It covers his last day on Earth, which it's really heavy. It's really good. And if you make your way through the whole series, whether it be the anime, the manga, whatever adaptation of it that you go to, that little side story on the end adds a shit ton of weight to Eddie's character and what he means to Beck as a band. So I would definitely recommend checking that out. Any last thoughts on this show before we move on to some other things?
So as far as the show goes, I think I really covered about everything I really feel about the show. Overall, just to put a pin on it, I think overall most people would like the anime. It's got a great story to it, even though not all things are super fleshed out. But especially if you are a lover of music or even a musician, this would be a great anime for you to watch.
If you had to rate it on a scale of one Dragon Ball to seven bowls of Ichiraku ramen, which what would you give it?
Six kunai.
Six kunai?
Yeah.
So 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's good. I'd give it a solid 8.
8. So I'll preface that I think it deserves a 6 only because of the stories that didn't get fleshed out.
Yeah,
and there that's was fair. there still, even though it's great, there was more to be desired.
Oh yeah, they left you wanting more, which I guess isn't a bad thing in a show like this, you know, because you can always go out and find the other medium.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I would have liked more if the show would have been able to continue beyond what it gave us. But what it did give us was so good that I can give it an 8 just on what the show gives us.
Yeah. So to wrap up our conversation about Beck, I feel like that's kind of, we've pinned that. That's cool. Let's talk for just a straight minute about what we plan on doing moving forward.
Yeah. So those of you that are familiar with us, obviously we existed, Comicast existed back in 2018. We initially started it, and when we first started it, it was going to be solely an anime show, but then we wound up expanding and basically becoming a whatever you want to talk about kind of show, which was a lot of fun, and I really enjoy that stuff, and maybe one day we'll make those old episodes available for people to hear again. But we definitely wanted to tighten our focus and get back to just being an anime show. So that's going to be what you're going to get out of us. With this teaser, we wanted to cover a show like Beck because it's, you know, it's a shorter show. We could get it done in an episode and to kind of give you guys a taste of what you guys can be expecting from us going forward. We're completely redoing our format. We're not recording week to week anymore.
Yeah. Before we used to record we'd get together every week and we'd record one or two shows, and then we'd put them out the following week, and that just became really tedious, and it became a lot of work, and it became
a lot of undue stress.
Yeah, it became more of a chore than the passion that we actually had for the anime and talking about it and doing a podcast. So I think moving forward now, we're gonna move into a season format.
Yeah. So yeah, we're basically, the idea is we're gonna do 12 episodes a season, maybe more, maybe less, depending on exactly what we're covering. And we're going to record them all ahead of time and put them out, you know, on a schedule.
Yeah.
And each season we're going to deep dive on a specific anime. So for season one, we thought, you know what, we're called Kamecast,
and we teased it so much previously in all our other stuff, and we had yet to actually go there.
Yeah. So for the very first season of Comecast, you guys can expect a deep dive on the show that arguably kickstarted anime here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The one and only amazing creation by one Akira Toriyama, Dragon Ball Z. Now, to be clear, we are only covering Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
we're not not OG Dragon Ball.
Not GT.
Thank God.
Super. Yeah. I don't. We may one day cover GT, but let's be honest, right now, that's not a priority.
Yeah, we will definitely cover OG Dragon Ball and mm-hmm. Dragon Ball Super and some of that other stuff down the road, but we figured Z is the one that made the impact over here in the U.S., and that's the kind of the thing that changed the game.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to start with that one to me.
So and we're not going to pull any cards out of the deck and tell you anything, but I will let you know we do have some pretty cool surprises in this season coming for you.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I hope you enjoyed this teaser. It feels so amazing to be back talking and really sharing our passion of anime with other people.
Yeah, man. I said it at the beginning, joking, like I missed you. I did. I missed this, dude. I'm glad that we're finally back on doing this. I can't wait to get started and start showing the people what's in store.
Absolutely.
So we can't give you guys a concrete date on when the new episode is going to air. We have a few other things we need to figure out, but this will be a nice little thing to kind of tide you guys over in the meantime.
So for now, be looking. We will keep you updated with information on when stuff will be coming out, but be looking for that new season of Dragon Ball Z content that we will be putting out.
Absolutely. Cody, you got anything else you want to add?
Get swifty.
Get swifty. Shout out to Rick and Morty, by the way, for an amazing season 4.
Yeah, it was incredible. It definitely has been one of the best seasons that they've put out.
I think it's the best.
Especially the season finale, without talking about
any
of it.
No Rick and Morty spoilers.
Yeah, I'm not putting any of those spoilers out there. It wrapped up very well. And if you haven't watched any of the series, I recommend it. I understand if you don't like it, you don't have to, but I recommend watching it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't really have any recommendations myself, but yeah, just check out Beck Mongolian Chop Squad, man. It's a great show. If you're a musician or just an appreciator of music, I think you'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it has been a great time catching up with you, Cody.
Absolutely, man.
It's been a great time catching up with you guys, too. Want to thank you guys so much for joining us. I've been Doug Keeney.
And I've been Cody Taylor.
And this is Comecast.
Peace.
Bye-bye.